across the country and around the world, this is TalkZone.com, the best in Internet talk radio.
Time for more of The Ladies' Room. Once again, here's Patricia Washington on TalkZone.com.
And welcome back to The Ladies' Room. We're glad that you could join us on this Monday morning. Don't forget, this is your place to be. This is how to start your week every Monday, 11 a.m. Start with us on Monday, and Friday we'll be here before you know it. Promise, guaranteed. If not, I'll give you your money back. How about that? Guaranteed money back if Monday isn't brightened by listening to The Ladies' Room. And if you don't smile during this next segment, if you don't laugh, if there's something that doesn't pique your interest or catch you or grip you during this next segment, then we need to talk offline, because I have as my guest today, I'm very fortunate to be joined in the ladies' room by the one, the only, the inimitable Leisha J. Reeves. I teased her section a little bit earlier in the show. Leisha has so many gifts and so many talents. She's managed to kind of pare them down into maybe three or four. Motivational speaker, author, business executive, comedian, just an all-around fabulous person. And I have to share this little story with you before we bring Leisha in. She and I met several years ago when I was doing something in a whole other life, and instantly liked her. Just warm, straightforward, wonderful person, compassionate, cares about what's going on in her community, and was constantly working to improve her community, just like the ladies who listen to The Ladies' Room. Fast forward to a few weeks ago, met her. I ran across her again. She was out promoting her new book. And that is crystallized in my mind. What better person to help us kick off the ladies' room than someone who is so positive, so funny, so witty, and so charming, and so better have my check when this show is done. No, I'm just kidding. Than Leisha J. Reeves. Called her up. She was able to join us today, and I'm hoping that she'll come back and be a regular on the ladies' room. So won't you please join me in welcoming to our very first segment of the ladies' room, none other than Ms. Leisha J. Reeves. Leisha, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm so glad. I told you this, and I keep saying it. I'm so glad that you could be here this morning. I really am.
I am when so honored to be here.
We think about all of before we went to break, I was talking about an article I read that was just, you know, it's troubling to me, and it was about violence as it relates to the economy and how people are turning desperate, very, very desperate. They're losing their homes. Husbands are becoming despondent about their inability to provide for their families and just killing their entire families. People are, as we speak, somebody's probably losing their job right now, but it's not a ladies' room listener because I told them what to do earlier. Keep working, people. Don't let the boss see you listening to the ladies' room. Keep working. Don't need any pink slips on my watch. But it is, we are in a time when it is extremely difficult for folk, and not everybody has a support system. And so we need to be motivated. We need to laugh. We need to share. And we need to just, you know, give somebody a hug. I mean, don't get in trouble because they got laws against certain things. I mean, you can't just do everything, but, you know, just have some fun. And so I'm so glad that you're here today. I've researched your book, read certain episodes. I've watched you, and just being in your presence is motivating me to do what I'm supposed to do. So I'm really glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So talk to me a little bit. I want to go into each one of these pieces a little bit. Not so much. We won't start right out with the book. We'll get to the book. Let's talk about who Leisha Reeves is. Let's talk and introduce her to the ladies' room. Tell us where you're from, I know we talked about a little bit about education, and we talked about going to law school. I don't know about you, but college for me, I think I had a little bit too much fun in college. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I will reveal today.
More to come. Well, I am originally from East St. Louis, Illinois. I'm very proud native of the city because a lot of people have a lot of negative things to say about East St. Louis, but there are a lot of great people there. There are a lot of people that come out of there. And that's where I'm from, born and raised. Went to college at Tennessee State University and then went on to Howard University School of Law, licensed to practice law in the state of Illinois, and really knew the entire time I was supposed to be an entertainer. So go figure. $127,000 later.
Right, exactly. But okay, now did you come upon this knowledge because you were cutting up, or what was it that said, okay, I'm supposed to be making people laugh, I'm supposed to be entertaining people some way?
I was actually always an entertainer at heart. There's always somebody in the family that the family clown. Well, that was me and our family. Mm-hmm. I was always the jokester, always the person that was entertaining everybody. But that's not a traditional path. My parents were 44 and 46, respectively, when I was born. So the message was, go to school, get good grades, and get a good job, which is what mm-hmm. a lot of people tell their children. And that's true, but sometimes it really can stifle the child's creativity. So I was so focused on going to school, making good grades, and I could get a great job. And you can do all that and still be absolutely miserable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Trust me. Another show, another day. We'll talk about that. So you went through all this experience, and you did. You were the diligent child. You did what you were supposed to do, right? You
right.
did the school thing, got the good grades, went on and went on to law school. Is that right?
Yeah.
And where'd you go to law school?
Howard University School of Law. Go
Yay.
Back.
Washington, D.C. Now, see, that wouldn't work for me. I'm just telling you. There's no way that you could have me between the ages of 18 and anything in Washington, D.C. and expect
yeah,
something
you
productive.
You have some discipline in D.C. It's a wonderful town. Absolutely. I'm having flashbacks just thinking about it.
Uh-huh. Another show.
Right,
but anyway,
right.
So you come home and so you're working. I mean, was there ever some point, and I know that you were you working in a prosecutor's office, in a prosecuting attorney's office?
I worked in the prosecutor's office in Cook County in Chicago, and then they were building a nonprofit back in my hometown. So I came back to work within that organization, and I said, oh, I'm only going to stay for a year, no more than 2 years. And that was actually the plan. After 2 years, I had another job in Atlanta and ended up not leaving. And, oh, my God, it's 10 years later. So that can start to wear on you after time. When you're really not doing what you're called to do and what you're supposed to do, you can do very well at what you're doing, but you can be very right. empty at the same time.
So what happened during all this time? Because I know you. I know your work. You're a very diligent person. You are going to make sure that it gets done regardless. It's going to get
right.
done. But all this time in you, there was a little voice saying what?
Saying this isn't it. This isn't it. Oh, my God, this is not it. And you can always tell when it's not it, because if you get more frustrated at work than you should be, that's not it.
mm-hmm.
If little things drive you crazy, 9 times out of 10, that's not it. So I would go through that all the time, and God bless all of my friends, because they probably got tired of hearing this. I kept talking about what I wanted to do, what I wanted to do, what I wanted to do. And I realized in 2008, the only person that was stopping me from doing that was me.
Mm-hmm. So that, flash forward,
really,
you're 2008.
Yeah.
And so you just wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'm going to go to the comedy club. I think I'm going to open mic night. I think I'm going to write this book. What happened?
Actually, I really got settled in my mind that I went to my law school 10-year reunion in 2007, and I was like, I mean, you know, people were talking about the things that they were doing, and all of us were really, really doing well, but some of the people looked a lot happier than I did. I mean, you know, you only go to reunion if you're doing well anyway.
So right.
I mean, you don't go if you're not doing
You don't pull up.
At the reunion. If you don't look good and you don't feel good, you don't go. So
you don't go.
I was doing well. But so many people looked so much happier with what they were doing. When they talked about what they were doing, they had so much joy. And I didn't. And, you know, people were patting me on the back, talking about, oh, that's outstanding, and da-da-da-da. And I thought, I cannot do this again. So at the end of 2007, I got my mind together. I'm going to write this book. I'm no longer going to talk about it, because I had journaled this for years. Got to write the book. So literally, the beginning of 2008, February 9th, actually, I sat down, no more excuses, and just started writing. And I tell people that all the time, because you're waiting on some big epiphany. Nothing's going to happen. You got to sit down and start writing. That's it.
That just sounds so unglamorous. Please tell me it's not so.
It really is so, because you can wait for the sky to open up and say, write today. Not going to happen. You've had all the signs you're going to get. Nothing is going to move until you literally sit down and start writing. And the discipline that it takes to just sit down is one thing. And then to start is something else. So February 9th, my mother was born on February 9th. God rest her soul. She died 11 years ago. So I sat down on her birthday, and I just started writing. And the first two pages that I wrote were absolutely horrible. But I kept writing. And then I kept writing, and after a while, it started to turn into something that I knew that was God-given, because it just kept coming out of me. And what had taken me 5 years to sit down to do, I actually finished in 2.5 months.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Unbelievable when you really do sit down to do what you're supposed to do.
And so where was all of the title of the book is Get Up and Be Somebody. And I understand that you were toiling and you were doing this writing. You didn't have a title. You didn't know what the book was going to be about. But your sister inadvertently gave you the title. Is that correct?
Yes. And I really give her a lot of credit for that, even though I give her no money. But she really.
Right. Just give her credit. Don't give her the check.
We were talking on the phone one morning, and we were talking about my niece. And I'm not a morning person. And she says, all she needs to do is just get up and be somebody. I said, what did you say? She just needs to get up and be somebody. And I could not get that out of my head. That was 5 years ago. And I could not get it out of my head. I knew it was a book. I just didn't know what it was going to be a book about.
Mm-hmm.
So it literally just kept driving me up the wall, get up and be somebody. And I realize now in retrospect, the reason that I could not write it is because I wasn't getting up to be the somebody I was supposed to be. And that's why I know you can do very well at something and still not do what you're supposed to be doing. And you don't feel motivated.
You collect the check and go home.
Absolutely. And that's all you're doing. Actually, you're stealing. Because anytime, that's just absolute, you're a thief. Because you're stealing from your job. One, because you don't want to be there. And everybody knows when you don't want to be somewhere. It really does show. And you don't give it 1,000%. You may give it 100%. You may even give it 110%, but you can't give 1,000% to something you don't really, really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you know what? How you started writing, you've got the title of the book, Get Up and Be Somebody. And I'm going to tell you, I love that title because my mother used to say, and I have this, and isn't that funny how we turn into our mothers?
Absolutely.
I'm really not sure if that's a good thing. All I know is that it happens because I find myself now, I have a 14-year-old son who I absolutely adore, but who on some days, you know, if he was missing for a few hours, I'd be okay.
Right.
But I love him dearly. And I find myself saying to him sometimes the very things that I would hear my mom saying to me. Well, actually she said to my brother because I was a perfect child, but she'd say things like, you know, walk like you have some place to go. You know, talk like right. You have something to say. Be somebody. And when I saw that book, that resonated with me because we all want the best, not only for our children, but for ourselves. But we just,
absolutely.
We need that extra push.
Right. And interestingly enough, I didn't want to write a book about how to get up and be somebody. That's why that's not the title, how, because I can't tell you how to do that. I'm still doing that every day. But I can tell you that when you don't do it, it absolutely affects someone else's life. So this is more a book about what happens to people when you don't get up to be the somebody you're supposed to be. And we don't think about those little things. You know, you don't think about the person's life you're saving because you decided to do the show. You don't think about those kinds of things. But they're literally life-saving events that happen to people when you get up to be the somebody that you're supposed to be.
And I think that was an important nugget that I took from one of the parts. You know, if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, then how can, for instance, if I don't start the ladies room and I don't do what I'm supposed to do and I don't grow that and we don't go, you know, from city to city and talk to people and Lisha Reeves doesn't come along with me and motivate folk, then there might be somebody who may not, be inspired to get up and write their own book or host their own show. Or, you know, be kind to someone. It doesn't have to be something major. Maybe somebody right now is supposed to just step outside and learn how not to be so shy. Who knows?
And it's so important, and it's resonating every day. I did an interview not too long ago, and when I was talking over the radio, I said, all you got to do is start with one sentence. And there was a guy that heard that and started writing immediately. And less than a month later, he finished his book. And he called the radio station, because I'm on there every week, to say, I heard her say, just write one sentence. Well, if I had never written the book last year, then I wouldn't have been on the radio station to even make that statement, and he still may not have been. So it's just so important that it is really, really a chain reaction. So there will definitely be someone who won't do what they're supposed to do because you haven't done what you're supposed to do.
And see, now, Lisha, I got a problem with that. I have enough guilt. I have enough guilt in my life.
But okay? You should. You should.
I got enough guilt for not doing the things that I'm supposed to do.
But we were all put here for a purpose. So how dare us be so arrogant that we don't live on our purpose every day? That's the reason that we came. We came to live on purpose. So when we don't do that, because it's all interconnected, so it is a lot of guilt, but I'd like to think of it more as a great responsibility. Because how much did the Creator, God, believe and think of you to even give you that responsibility? So it's just so important. And it's so much fun. Oh, my God. There is so much joy in doing what you're supposed to do.
That's the secret. That's the secret to life. Listen, we've got to take a break, Lisha. I'm hoping that you'll be able to continue out with us for the next 20 or 30 minutes or so. But we've got to... go to a break, and I want to give out the phone numbers before we go, so that in case you're listening and you want to give us a call, you can do that. 888-463-6748. 888-463-6748. Stay with us. We'll be right back.